Establish a quorum. Please call the roll.
Portantino?
I'm here.
Portantino here. Bates?
Here.
Bates here. Bell? Bradford? Hill?
Here.
Hill here. Nielsen?
Here.
Nielsen here. Wiener?
We have a quorum. I have 8:31 on my phone, so I think we will start. Mr. Chow, if you could come on up, and we have one order of business today, AB 375. You can present AB 375.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and Senators. AB 375, the California Consumer Privacy Act, is a simple bill. It is based on the principle that people should have the right to control their own personal data and should not be discriminated against for exercising that right. Effective January 1st, 2020, it would specifically grant California consumers the right to know what information is being collected about them, whether it is sold to whom, the right to access, the right to delete, the right to opt out or opt in to the sale, depending on the age of the consumer, and also the right to equal service and price if the consumer exercises that right. It also would provide a limited private right of action for consumers, but only in situations involving a data breach. The committee analysis notes personnel, operating, and equipment costs to the Department of Justice in the millions that are associated with the duties imposed by this bill, and also unknown cost pressures to the court to adjudicate lawsuits filed by or on behalf of consumers against businesses who are alleged to have violated provisions of this act. In response to the fiscal concerns raised by this bill, I'd like to note that the bill establishes the Consumer Privacy Fund exclusively to offset any cost incurred by the state courts as well as the Attorney General in connection with this law. However, I also recognize, like my joint author, Senator Hertzberg, that this bill places a great deal of responsibility on the Department of Justice. As a result, I echo the comments made by Senator Hertzberg in saying that I also support budget change proposals into the future that would give the Attorney General the resources needed to enforce the provisions of this bill in a meaningful way. And joining me is Senator Hertzberg. So at this time, I'd like to ask him to see if he wants to make any comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair. It's good seeing this job, sorry. All I wanted to do was to just give great accolades to the author of this measure, and certainly the circumstances are quite challenging. The question that we all face is, what's the product and what's the process going forward? And the product, in our judgment, is by orders of magnitude better. There's no state in the union that has privacy laws that even comes close to what we're talking about. While we have this hollow right of privacy that's afforded in both the Constitution of the State of California and in case authority from the United States, we have to give it meaning in the context of the Internet, because the Internet has given a whole new definition of what privacy is all about, in terms of ability to gather information about you, to track you, to learn how many beats of your heart. And so we have an obligation in government to come up with regulations and processes to make sure that the public is protected. That's our job. That's what we've done in this bill. And the most important, in addition to the framework, which I think is nothing less than elegant, process difficult, but at the end of the day, what we did was bake in a year delay. That year delay gives the chairman of the Privacy Committee and others in our House the opportunity to sit down and think through the, it's probably my son. It is my son. I always take it, but this time I'm not.
Tell him you need privacy.
Not with my son. He just got, after he won the best new opera last year, he just got the best new opera of the so far this year from what he did. How do you like them apples? So that's the most important part of my testimony, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I would tell you. God, he's driving me crazy, this kid, but he's, what do you do when you got an artistic kid? You do what you got to do. So, but the point is that we've got the opportunity next year, and that's really a big deal. And so, yes, are there things that you overlooked? Yes, are there going to be challenges with respect to thinking this through? It is an extraordinary issue. And the last point I wanted to make, I know that I just heard the chairman talk about the Attorney General and supporting a budget change proposal, which I also committed to. They need the money to provide the mechanisms in place. But the last thing, Mr. Chairman, is this the framework's in place, and the challenges that we face, we're going to always face. The initiative had a 70% threshold. You know, people can like or not like the legislative branch of government. I get that on both sides of the aisle. But there's an important constitutional function that we perform. And in areas as critical as privacy, that every day new technologies are invading our lives and cause consternation to the people that we represent without party affiliation, we need to have that flexibility to engage as representatives of the people in that process. That's the most important thing. I ask for your support for this measure.
Thank you. Mr. Chow, you're okay with that. We'll go to support. Anyone would like to come up? We'll take two primary speakers in support, and then Me Too's after that.
I recognize that guy.
You can come up to the table.
What's your name again?
Want to make some brief comments? That's great.
Okay. My name is Alistair McTaggart. Thank you for your time, Mr. Chairman, members. I'm the proponent of the ballot initiative. And I'm here in support of AB 375. I think it does materially and substantially the same thing as the ballot initiative. I didn't think I would get here because about a month and a half ago it appeared that the gulf was too wide. But thanks to the really extraordinary efforts of Assemblymember Chow and Senator Hertzberg, as well as Senator Dodd, to get us here, we're here, much to my surprise. In general, I am thrilled to be here because, as the senator said, I actually do believe that this is the right place to make laws. And the initiative process, I think, is valid because I'm 100% convinced we wouldn't be here without that. But that said, it's time to turn it over to you, the legislature, and let you do your job and your constitutional responsibility. And I'm thrilled to do that. So I hope it passes because I do think this is the right venue for this. Thank you so much.
Hi, thank you, members of the committee. I'm Elizabeth Galicia, Vice President of Common Sense Kids Action. Common Sense, a national nonprofit dedicated to supporting kids and families in the digital age, has been working with the California Legislature on protecting kids' privacy over the years, including on the 2013 Eraser Button Law and the 2014 Student Privacy SOPIPA Act. Kids' personal information, activities, and networks are exposed and often for sale from birth. A recent national poll of parents and teens found that 9 in 10 want companies to provide greater privacy protections. It's incumbent upon us to answer their call. Common Sense is a proud co-sponsor of the California Consumer Privacy Act, a bill that will secure rights for every member of the family, including special protections for kids under 16. AB 375 allows consumers to make informed choices about what happens with their own data, control that fosters healthy relationships with technology and overall digital well-being. There's actually a poll just released today that found that Americans feel 77%, so 3 in 4 Americans feel that big internet and technology has a negative impact on their privacy. And now we have a chance to address that. I'd also like to say that we look forward to working with the Attorney General's office to make sure there's robust and appropriate enforcement mechanisms as this law goes into effect. The state that pioneered the tech revolution should now pioneer consumer privacy safeguards. If California leads the way, the nation will follow. We urge the committee and the legislature to vote yes on this law. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to come up to the mic in the middle? This is the Me Too. State your name, your organization, and Me Too.
Savina Tucker with the Consumer Attorneys of California in support.
Samantha Corbin in behalf of Privacy Rights Clearinghouse, also in support.
Thank you. Is there any opposition to this bill? If you guys could give up your chairs, we'll let two people for the opposition, if there are two. Mr. Hertz.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Sarah Boot testifying on behalf of Cal Chamber in opposition to AB 375. This bill will have a fiscal impact on the state with respect to the funding necessary for the Attorney General to regulate and enforce its privacy provisions. AB 375 will also lead to significant court costs due to the lawsuits that will flow from its expansive private right of action. This bill allows for significant statutory damages to be awarded with no proof of any injury, which means that once the bill is enacted, businesses will be hit with an immediate lawsuit in the wake of a data breach. And in a world where no proof of injury is required to be on the hook for huge statutory damages, many companies will be leveraged into immediate settlement, regardless of the strength of their defense at trial. So the argument that this private right of action will only affect bad actors is simply not true. For that reason, the Cal Chamber has identified similar language in another bill this year, SB 1121, as a job killer. Additionally, although it's been stated at previous hearings, the authors do not intend to apply the data breach private right of action to other parts of the bill. There's nothing in the current language of the bill to explicitly prevent such an interpretation of the law. So we'd request a commitment on the record to resolve that issue before the law takes effect. Otherwise, the litigation burden on business and on the courts will be that much greater. Finally, the added costs of regulatory compliance and legal liability stemming from this bill will have an impact on the California economy, perhaps in ways that we can't yet predict, given the sweeping nature of this legislation. Yet, despite our objections to the massive liability and to other problems with this bill, the business community is in an untenable situation. Although AB 375 is deeply flawed, the privacy initiative is even worse. And the stakes are astronomical, because if the initiative is passed, the legislature will be virtually unable to amend the law in the future. And that's problematic both because of the flaws in the initiative and because we'd have to return to a vote of the people in order to change the law in an area where businesses and technologies are constantly evolving. And that wouldn't be a good outcome for anyone. So at this late hour, we absolutely prefer the legislative process to the initiative process. The business community has been and remains dedicated to crafting reasonable privacy legislation. We strongly urge the legislature to fix the numerous problems presented by this bill as we move forward, and we do believe the delayed implementation of this bill will help that, and we are grateful for that. I just want to briefly highlight a few of some of the unintended consequences of this bill that will impact consumers that folks are going to need to take into consideration going forward. The bill could jeopardize the ability of retailers to provide loyalty and rewards programs to customers. It could prevent companies from effectuating product safety recalls. It could impact the third-party data sharing for fraud prevention and detection. And some of the disclosure requirements of this bill could be read to force companies to produce information about one consumer to another, which certainly goes against the privacy goals of this legislation. These are just some of the numerous issues with this bill. But for these reasons and more, we are opposed to it. Though ultimately, we maintain the preference for this legislation over the ballot initiative because it is far worse. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Come line up.
Mr. Chair, members, Laura Bennett with TechNet. We appreciate the author bringing this policy issue to the legislature. We agree that it is the appropriate venue for this policy discussion. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and Senators, Kevin Gould of the California Bankers Association. We appreciate and acknowledge the Graham-Leach-Bliley language that's included in the measure. We believe that it could be improved upon. And we have drafted language that we think can accomplish that, and we look forward to a future conversation and subsequent legislation. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and members, John Doherty on behalf of the Civil Justice Association of California. We are in opposition. I think that the work was admirable. It's close, but there's enough glaring problems that we have to remain opposed and that we understand that it can't be amended because of the timeline. So thank you for your time.
Devin Anderson on behalf of the Retail Industry Leaders Association, also opposed. Thank you.
Joanne Betancourt, representing, the Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association. We do have an opposed position. We like to align ourselves with the comments of the California Bankers Association. Thank you.
Courtney Jensen with the California Credit Union League. We appreciate the work of the authors and look forward to working with them on future legislation to fix the problems associated with the California Bankers Association. Thank you.
Chair members, Ross Buckley with the Personal Insurance Federation opposed the measure.
Chair and members, Jerry Desmond, California Association of Licensed Investigators, and align ourselves with the comments and position of the chamber.
Fielding Greaves with the Advanced Medical Technology Association. We'd associate our comments with the other folks that have spoken. Thank you.
Lauren Greenwood on behalf of the California Cable and Telecommunications Association, also opposed. Thank you.
Mr. Hertzberg, Mr. Chow, do you want to respond to any of the comments and questions?
Sure, I'll be happy to start. With respect to the cost pressure, I think let me just rehash the two points that I raised earlier. And I think what we're suggesting to address that issue is that, as I said before, the bill itself contains a clause that creates this privacy fund that will offset some, if not all, of the costs incurred by the AG or the court. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is the BCP, that's a budget change proposal that we are strongly advocating to help out, because the AG is going to be asked to do a little bit more work because of this bill. So we will be working on that as well. And there's been quite a few issues raised by the opponents, and I just want to commit myself to continue to working with the opponents on some of these issues. And commitment is basically to look at every single one of these issues, which I have not seen all of them, but one of which is the private right of action, and the other is issues raised by the AG. So we want to make sure that whatever law we pass here in the legislature could be enforced by the Attorney General. So I will definitely commit myself to working on that particular issue as well. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Senator Hertzberg.
And before you go, Senator Hertzberg, obviously during the Judiciary Committee, you had, I would assume, a robust conversation on the policy and the private right of action piece. Mr. Chow did a good job discussing the fiscal impact, which is the subject of this committee. But I think it's appropriate, given your background, if you just want to briefly address some of those issues, and then we'll go to...
Yeah, in the negotiations with Mr. McTaggart and a number of the interest groups in trying to reach what I always call door number two, an alternative, which is you have before you, the private right of action formed, I would suggest, the most contentious aspect of the measure, I mean, of a compromise. The underlying measure gives private right of action in all types of proceedings. One of the reasons there's a budget implication here is that if there's a sale or if there's a violation of a notice provision under the initiative, the private right of action was the remedy. What we did here in the compromise is to limit the private right of action to one thing, and that was data breaches. And even within the context of data breaches, we gave a right to cure, and we gave a process similar in some respects to what we have in Prop 65, which basically deals with, says to the Attorney General, whether or not this has merit or doesn't, and they have some authority, the details of which I won't bother you with. But and then ultimately the private right of action, to the extent that there's been a data breach, which gives statutory damages, we thought was a fair compromise and put enough, you know, borders and guidelines on it that it still gave the authority on the one hand, but avoided the abuse. Because, you know, the one thing that we're worried about in all of these discussions, again, I'm just trying to reflect what transpired, was the leverage. Because some of these companies are so big that if you say it's $50 and someone's got 100 million followers, right, the numbers are huge, and those become the opening act for purposes of litigation, and when you want to get to the facts. And so it became challenging. And so that was the reason and kind of the notion and discussion around it. But what actually is in the measure, and yes, it was very much a part of a robust discussion, both with the committee in public and also with the chair of the committee, who evidenced a very significant interest in that regard. So I think that the compromise, given the circumstances, is quite fair. It balances the public interest on the one hand, where there's limited right, and then gives to the Attorney General the authority. I would suspect that this thing comes together properly. Whoever the Attorney General is in the state of California will be the chief privacy officer for the United States of America, given the fact that you've got so many tech companies here that are within that person's jurisdiction, and the fact that they have such broad authority with respect to the issue of privacy. And that's one of the reasons, in terms of this budget change proposal, you're going to need experts. You're going to need some more lawyers to make it happen. But in my judgment, in the balance of things, is our job as government to protect people. Sometimes it's public safety. Sometimes we saw here in this committee a few years ago, it's ransomware or it's other kinds of theft. You get in the back door, not with a gun and a crowbar. You get in the back door with a computer hacker in terms of affecting people's lives. Or even you can start their car and steal their car, I saw in 60 Minutes, because using hackers and stuff. So this whole issue is of privacy is so much broader in terms of our responsibility in government to protect people. And so giving the Attorney General the ability to perform, to develop this level of expertise, we thought was a really intelligent and most cost-effective way for us to deal with this very important issue.
Thank you. Any questions from committee members? Mr. Weiner?
I want to thank the author and Senator Hertzberg as well for really helping to land this plane. This is it was a space shuttle, you said?
Yeah,
yes, a big plane. And this was a challenging a challenging situation we faced, and I agree that the legislature is the right forum to address this issue. This bill will allow us to avoid the ballot measure and to keep this in the legislature. Thank you.
You are prepared, Mr. Chair.
And given the delayed implementation to do cleanup legislation next year, and then over time, as issues arise, to be able to correct them legislatively. So this, under the circumstances, this is definitely the best course, and I'm happy to support this.
Thank you.
Mr. Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too want to thank certainly the authors for the hard work, but I also want to thank Mr. McTaggart. I've never met the gentleman. Saw him today. I saw him. I heard him this morning, and I appreciate his sensitivity and consideration to the democratic process and allowing the legislature to really take and embrace this to come to some solution without going to the ballot. I think all of us are concerned, and it's interesting. You know, I've been working for years on trying to kind of grapple with and put our arms around law enforcement surveillance and our rights to privacy there, with a lot of challenges, and I know we've been struggling with trying to do it with the internet. Someone who represents Silicon Valley, it is tough to kind of navigate the Wild West there. But what came to heart today was when Senator Hertzberg mentioned heartbeats, and I'm just thinking as I was doing that, never thought of it before, but I check my heart rate all the time, not all the time, but maybe once a day, and does it automatically, actually. On my watch. So the funny part is, where does that heartbeat information go? Who's using that for what purpose? And to determine at some point my insurance rates or something else. And it's important that we put some parameters, we need a sheriff in the Wild West. And I think this is the first step to put some regulations around
it. Mr. Chair, can I just make a comment on that? Yeah, just real quickly, you know, we literally talked to one of the tech companies that says on these devices, which have become incredible, right, based upon how your hand shakes, they can determine whether or not your Parkinson's or pre-Parkinson's going to the issue of health care and all the other issues. It's nothing less than extraordinary. Where were you? Where you went? The court case just came out the other day, tracking everywhere you go, whether you need a warrant to determine whether you went into this restaurant or whatever versus just what phone calls you made. It's really... it really is the Wild West in a whole new way. It's, a new frontier, as they say in Star Trek.
Yeah. No, and I appreciate the hard work that everyone went to and the committee for the consideration. So thank you very much. I'd be happy to support it.
Thank you. Any other comments? Seeing no other hands go up, again, I'd like to compliment everybody who was part of this. I think the most salient comment or the most important piece of this is by doing a bill, we preserve the legislative process going forward.
Yeah,
if it was an initiative, we would not have any tools in our toolbox to address any unforeseen consequences. So with that, I think this is the appropriate thing to move on. As you know, this bill would have met the criteria for the suspense file. However, it was referred to the committee pursuant to Senate Rule 29.1B, which only provides the option to do two things: hold the bill or return the bill as approved by the committee to the Senate floor. And so that will be the recommendation of the chair, is that we pass this bill to the Senate floor. So with that, I'll take a motion. We have a motion by Mr. Weiner to refer this bill to the Senate, to pass this bill to the Senate floor. Please call the roll. Wait, excuse me. Did you two want to make a closing comment?
I respectfully ask for your vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The motion is that the measure be returned to the Senate floor for consideration. Portantino?
Aye.
Portantino, aye. Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Bradford?
Aye.
Bradford, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Nielsen?
Aye.
Nielsen, no. Weiner?
Aye.
Weiner, aye.
6-1, and everybody's here, right? So that bill is out, 6-1. Thank you all for being here early in the morning.
Thank you,
authors. This committee is adjourned.